Well, welcome everybody. Thank you for joining us. This is the Killer Frogs live. You know, yeah. We started this 10 years ago, and man, that feels so weird to say 10 years ago. Of course, COVID changed a lot of things, and we've been looking for the last two years to get this back and going, and we want to thank the Poop Deck here for graciously hosting us this season, so thank you very much, the Poop Deck. So this is the podcast all about TCU athletics, and just quick round of introductions. To my left, a man who is exciting and ready to get chomping at the bit, actually, to get started this season. We have former TCU player and Hall of Famer, Shannon Brazil. How you doing, Shannon?
I'm doing great. It's ready to rock and roll, brother. It's time.
It is. And to my right, TCU former player Nathan Hernandez. How you doing, Nathan?
Oh, no.
If I don't step on your mic cable.
I'm nervous, but I'm always nervous before a season, so we're good.
Yeah, we have to wait till we get to predictions until we hear what you have to say. Last time I saw you, I was stuck in California with a bad transmission.
I didn't have a bad transmission, but I was stuck in California.
So. Yeah, your trip ended a little bit better than mine did.
Some hobo like started banging on my window when we were leaving the stadium.
Really?
I don't know if it was a homeless guy, but he was just drunk or something. I don't know. But we almost got in a fight after the
game. Sounded like
a
Georgia Bulldog fan to me.
I was in a bad mood already, so it wasn't great.
It didn't work out well. We're going to introduce our special guest here in just a few minutes, but we are very proud to be back, very happy to start a brand new season. We have missed out on a lot of things during the offseason. Of course, a lot of things TCU fans are really excited about. We have conference realignment talk to go over. We have new coaches to discuss, TCU players drafted in the NFL, and it looks like, I think at this point, almost all of them, including one extra who was undrafted, got picked up on NFL rosters. So it is a busy slate tonight, and we're just going to go ahead and go right into it. So to begin with, I'm going to go ahead and bring up a friend of ours and an amazing writer. And this is this first part of the segment. We're actually going to talk to Barry. Barry, come on up here real quick. Sorry, Shannon, you got a mic? Perfect. Barry Lewis works for the Fan Nation, which is affiliated with Killer Frogs and Sports Illustrated. So Barry, for some of the fans who don't yet know about Fan Nation, can you explain a little bit?
Sure. So we're the part of Killer Frogs that's associated with Sports Illustrated. So Sports Illustrated has an umbrella called Fan Nation. Within that, they have microsites for NFL, NBA, MLB, several other professional leagues. And they also have a whole section for college. There are 48 colleges under the Fan Nation umbrella. We are one of eight of the current Big 12 teams that has a Fan Nation page. And next year, with the new Big 12, we'll be one of nine that has a Fan Nation page. In 2 weeks from tonight, we will celebrate our second anniversary. In that time, we have produced almost 2,700 articles and videos, pieces of content all about TCU Big 12 sports. We cover all 22 of TCU sports, not just football, basketball, and baseball. All of our content is always free. There's never a subscription, never a fee to read any of our stuff. We've had a tremendous month of August. Ryan and I have been celebrating today on a couple different notes. But our traffic for the month of August is now three times more than it was last August. So this is a great momentum for us moving into football season. We really think we've got some good audience out there that's looking forward to us. We're putting out three plus pieces of content every day. Our January through August numbers are now 50% higher than what they were January to August last year. So that was an accomplishment today. And August is going to finish as our fifth best month in the 2 years that we've been doing this. And if you think about it, the month of August, from a competition standpoint, had three soccer matches and two volleyball matches, yet this is still our fifth best month. So we're looking forward to what that's going to mean with football season and hopefully having some record numbers as we move into the fall. And I want to just tell you real quickly, our team, we've got 12 writers. We're writing all sorts of wonderful content every day. Yes, this week we're writing a lot about football. We've got about 40 different stories that are scheduled to be published this week alone. But I want to tell you about three specific ones. Two that are already out there that you can go read right now, and one that I'm going to tease that you'll have to wait until the weekend to see it come published. The first one, this one we published yesterday, and 3 days before the start of football season, if you would have told me that an article about what the Big 12 men's basketball program in 2024-2025 was going to look like would be our biggest producing article, I would have said, what are you smoking? But it is. We have a writer, his name is Davis. He went to take a look at what the new Big 12 with its 16 teams will look like from a basketball perspective, put them into different tiers, and oh my, we're seeing all sorts of traffic on that particular story. Another of our writers, who's a student here at TCU, his name is Nick. He did a great story, if you've not heard this, that Amari DiMicardo, who went undrafted last April in the NFL, actually got a roster spot on the Arizona Cardinals. So Nick has put together a great story that tells his journey from a kid in Southern California going to junior college to now having a roster spot on the Arizona Cardinals. So it's a great story about his whole journey. And then the one I'm going to leave you with, this is coming out sometime over the weekend. We have somebody on our team who knows absolutely nothing about sports. His name is Tyler, and he is a self-proclaimed sports ignoramus. But even though he doesn't know anything about sports, he knows a lot about music. And there was an interesting poll that came out recently that polled all of the Big 12 football coaches and asked them who their favorite musician or musical group was. And there were some very interesting responses from those 14 coaches.
A lot of Taylor Swift fans.
I'm sorry? I didn't hear
a lot of T-Swift fans.
Yeah, there you go. I think there was. There was one. I don't recall which coach it was.
Definitely Coach Meacham.
It wasn't Dykes. I think Sonny Dykes was Dave Matthews' man. So, but anyway, Tyler is taking this poll and these results with all 14 of what they picked and is going to write an interesting analysis about their musical taste. So look for that over the weekend. So,
thank you, Bud.
Thank you, Barry. Appreciate that. Now I want to bring up our special guests for this evening. You know, we've all kind of been inundated with stories about the changes in college football. Obviously, there are a lot of changes to the rules, but one of the big changes over the last several years is the inclusion of the NIL. And we have got with us two very special guests. We have Taylor Wallach from NIL Village, and he has brought an amazing TCU player here, Davian Crawford. Thank you very much, Davian, for joining us.
Yes, sir. Thank you for having me.
And Tyler, tell us a little bit about NIL Village.
Yeah, so thank you for having me. I know I'm a third generation Frog. I know I've said this before, but I have to kind of keep representing TCU everywhere I go. And I remember, I remember watching Shannon at TCU when I was in high school. So I remember watching him at the Sun Bowl. I remember watching TCU the year before that. I don't want to mention what it was, but I remember that as well. So NIL Village is kind of it's a unique platform that's a little bit different than a lot of the other NIL stuff that you see out there. So what we do is, you know, we have a mission, and our mission is really to build a community of support around college athletes. And we do that by allowing any college athlete to come on the platform. And we sign an NIL deal with the college athlete. So for instance, Davian Crawford is on our platform. We signed a deal with Davian Crawford, so he lets us use his name, image, and likeness to help promote Davian and bring people back to the site. And so in return, Davian gets to go on our site, create a profile, and anybody can go to the website, anybody can view his profile, friends, family, Frogs fans, doesn't matter who it is, and they can contribute money to Davian. So Davian's gone on there, and I think he's told a story, and I think some of it has to do with, you know, growing up, being a son to a single parent mother, and then, you know, really kind of coming in from JUCO, making his transition over to TCU, and just kind of needing help paying expenses going with TCU. I think we all know that TCU is not cheap to go to, So I feel for him. And so that's kind of what we do. So anybody can join, any athlete can join, and anybody can give to them.
Yeah, and that's a little bit different than what we've seen out of the NIL, or at least I think a lot of fans have this perception of the NIL, right? It's like big name donors, big donor clubs. It's all really about the five-star recruits, so the first star, the first draft picks, those kind of players. But really, the NIL, and Shannon, you can kind of speak to this a little bit too, because you advocated for a lot of this as a student athlete. The NIL really is supposed to be about every player, right?
Exactly. So, with you guys, I like what you guys are doing, because you don't necessarily have to be a big name guy to get paid or things of that nature. So how do you guys come in contact with the student body, student athletes, and how do you divvy up the sports and things of that nature? Is it more, the coaches allow you to go speak to them and use to set them up that type of way? How is it coming back? How did you two guys meet up and get this situation going?
Right. So I'm giving away my trade secrets here, but I slip into their DMs.
Okay.
So that's what I did. So I don't go through TCU. I don't go through the coaches. I don't go through anybody else. I'll reach out through their DMs, and I have a TCU connection, obviously, because I went to TCU. So I started reaching out, and the way this initially started was I put out some advertisements, things like that, and then what I realized was that, no, we need to make more of a personal connection with the athletes. And so I started with TCU, started with kind of whoever would respond. We had some soccer players. Gracie Ryan is on the site. She responded. Peyton Cruz, who was on there last year and graduated, she responded. And I reached out to Davian as well. And Davian just, right off the bat, he responded by Instagram. And from there, we just kind of matched up. And
How do you make it not seem like you're a spam or a bot? Because I get those on Instagram.
It's a lot harder up front. Because when we first started getting going about a year and a half ago, most people took us to spam, right? Because you're trying to instant message or DM people, and you're telling them, hey, I'm this new person out here. Come sign up for NIL with my company. And what they've been told, what a lot of the athletes have been told, rightfully so, is that there's a lot of scams out there. So you got to be careful of the scams. So, a lot of the athletes we sent things to, we didn't hear anything back from. But the TCU athletes, we did. So we just started getting more and more TCU athletes on the side because of that connection. And also we have Ronnie Baker as well. So Ronnie Baker helps me run the company. So he does a lot of our, and I think Davian's actually been interviewed by Ronnie on our Athlete Spotlight. And so if you get a chance, go on the Athlete Spotlight and Davian's profile on our website or YouTube or whatever it may be. You can view that. But Ronnie's a good connection to have, right? So he's a former TCU athlete. He's an Olympic athlete. I'm the person who wished I could have played college sports, and he's the person that did. So we kind of have, that dichotomy going on.
Because of, and you mentioned before, you DM and the players, but let's just assume you didn't have the connection at TCU. Mm-hmm. With the NIL being the way it is, you hadn't said you wouldn't spoke to the head team or the head coach or the GM to get in there, because everything is kind of crazy with TCU doing their own thing. They're so different. There's so many different entities trying to raise funds for athletes. So let's just take TCU off the board. How do you go about, or do you think it's easier to go down to North Texas or whatever school that may be, just go to the top and visit with their top NIL guy or the head coach, so you can go ahead and make a presentation to the team? Or is it just too sticky? Is it just too much red tape to do those kind of things?
I haven't tried. And the reason is because some of the rules, I was hesitant at first, because some of the rules, at least at the beginning of the NIL, were that the colleges, the universities, couldn't kind of collaborate with these NIL groups. So I didn't. I know that some people did. But I'd kind of stayed away from that, because I think, from our perspective, we want to be in this for the long game. So we don't want the NCAA, whoever it may be, to start slapping our wrists and telling us to back off. But a lot of it as well, so it's interesting, because once you get one or two athletes, what ends up happening is those athletes have friends, right? And those athletes' friends go off to different places. So that's how we've gotten people from kind of all over the U.S. As well on the platform, just from friends of athletes.
Gotcha.
So
makes sense.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so Davian, let me ask you a couple of questions here. So Tyler's slid into your DMs. That's certainly one way to do PR. I'm just saying. But he slid into your DMs, right? What is it like for the players at TCU? How does TCU view the NIL as far as helping college athletes?
I would say Matty Lou, Matt Lewis, he like handles, like he always informs us about NIL and like y'all talk about like scams and stuff like that. So he always tells us to go through him before we sign anything or before we think about anything. We have to go through them first to get it approved. So there's like a whole process before we just say yes to somebody.
So, and this was something that I think we had talked originally when the NIL first came out. We had a couple of students who were kind of asking. It was kind of the Wild West. Nobody really knew, you know, what are the rules? How has TCU kind of structured? Do you guys have classes? Are there certain workshops that they kind of bring everybody into at the beginning of the season and be like, hey, let's talk about this. If you're going to take NIL money, here's the right way to do it. Do they have resources for you guys when it comes to paying taxes? What does that look like?
We have an NIL class that they require like all athletes to take, and they also have like guest speakers come in. We actually had a guest speaker like the last week of our fall camp come in and talk to us about NIL and the NIL money and stuff like that. And like you said, like it's not all about just the five-star athletes and the big names. So they talk to us about that as well.
So how, what does it mean to you to have that sort of support available as a student athlete?
I mean, I'm a man of God, so it's always a blessing to have someone helping out and stuff like that. Because, you know, me coming from, like, a single-parent household, it was four of us, so just having help is always a good thing. Because, like, a lot of people are not really good at asking for help, and that's something that I had to learn how to do, learn how to communicate.
And that was one of the things, I think, last year when we were talking with the soccer team. That was one thing that struck me, because I didn't think about that. And you mentioned communication. And a lot of them were saying, yeah, it really helped me to learn how to communicate, right? How to go out and how to actually kind of sell my brand or sell me as a brand. How difficult was that for you to kind of like step out of your shell and be like, okay, I got to talk myself up here?
I was always a quiet kid growing up. So like, I used to like hold things in. And whenever I'm going through something, I used to like not really like to communicate. I used to just like get through it. Cause they always, like growing up, they always taught us to like, you're a man. So like, you got to get through it, not communicate. But I had to step out of my shell when I came to TCU, learn how to communicate, because you got to tell the coaches what you got going on if something comes up. So just communication is like a big piece. Even life after football, you got to learn how to communicate.
So, Mr. Crawford, let's get down to the real, my brother.
Yes, sir.
Now, me, Ryan and we, on one of our podcasts, we had about 2-3 years ago about athletes getting paid. I was all for it. There was mixed emotions on it. Now, how this thing has come out, I'm for it. I just think there needs to be some rules and some stipulations and some things to make it a little better.
Yes.
With that being said, we used to get per diem back in my day. Now, don't think I don't know LT's per diem. His packet was a little bigger than mine, okay? But I knew that, and that's okay. We got along fine. That was great, right? With that being said, when you got guys in your locker room and you guys know what kind of money they're quote-unquote making, I'm not going to go in and ask you how much these, I'm going to leave that alone. What's the chemistry like in the locker room with money involved now? Because money can be a little messy. I mean, let's just be honest, but especially when you see a guy that you, not you per se, but you feel that you're working just as hard, but he's got a $20,000, $30,000 deal, whatever it may be, right? And you're getting $500. So how do you guys handle that in the locker room?
A lot of guys, we kind of like a family. Like Coach Dykes always harps on family, but a lot of guys, they don't really, you hear like one or two guys complain here and there, but those are some of the guys that don't really like to really like take football serious. They just on the team just to be on the team. But for most of the part, everybody just loves each other. We don't really hate on each other. Like we like a really like God-based team for the most part, but everyone just, we all love each other. We know who makes more money than everybody else, but nobody really hates on them because they'll actually help you out. Like, if you need help, like, some teammates will be like, hey, if you need, just let me know if you need anything, and they'll give it to you, for sure.
Yeah, that's good. And does Coach, how does Coach Dykes handle it from a head coach's standpoint? Is he the one that kind of speaks on that, or is it somebody else, like a Matty Lou, who kind of heads that up? Who heads that and makes sure everybody's handling the money and these new NIL deals? Who handles that part of the locker room?
It's both of them. Mainly is Matty Lou, but Coach Dykes always touches on it. He always, even if you're a guy that doesn't like make anything, Coach Dykes will always be like, if you reach out to me, I'll do anything I can and make sure you get what you need to get done. You might not make as much as they do, but they'll make sure you're taken care of for sure.
Gotcha. That's awesome.
Yeah, that's great to hear that the locker room kind of views it as a family, right? So then I have a question. Any of those guys, when they make a good payday, do they like go out and buy donuts for everybody?
Nah. Most of them, they like to buy like clothes and like, you know, try to be like the fly. They always try to compete and see who's the flyest guy on the team, like who has the biggest chain or something like that. Best clothes, who always smells the best, stuff like that.
All right, so then, since you brought it up, who's the best dressed in the locker room?
There's like three guys that like to dress good on the team that like that care about fashion a lot. I say one of my guys in the safety room, Mark Perry, him, Jared Wiley, he's big on fashion, and who else? This is kind of interchangeable, but I say Jamoy Hodge.
Jamoy Hodges. Why do you say that?
Because, like, you'll see, like, at the Frog Walk, I guarantee you they have, like, something flashy on just to catch, try to get a picture so they can post on Instagram or something like that.
That's awesome. So, overall, let's talk a little bit more about the locker room. You guys came off, unquestionably, one of the greatest seasons in TCU football history, right? Nobody was picking TCU to go to the playoffs. I mean, I think that was one of the big takeaways from Big 12 Media Days. Everyone kept saying, oh, TCU was picked seventh, right? In fact, I think a lot of the coaches that were there were just kind of throwing it right back in the reporters' faces. Like, you guys picked TCU to, like, not even finish, and look what happened to them. So now you're saying that we don't have a chance. You know, that they were using TCU as kind of the yardstick by which they should be measured, especially the teams that are coming into league this year. You guys finished an unbelievable season. What is it like in that locker room? You guys got back together following the national championship game. First day of practice, you guys are together as a team. What was that like?
I had to say Coach Kaz. He always reminds us every day about the loss in the national championship. Not to, like, throw it in our face, but to, like, give us an extra drive, because we didn't know how good we were until we beat Oklahoma. That's how we knew that we had, like, something special. But Coach Kaz always keeps us accountable, and he harps on us being like, big on discipline and stuff like that. So I say Coach Kaz for sure.
Yeah, I think somebody on the board earlier today actually said something that was pretty profound. He said, you know, bad teams don't know they're bad teams in the first week. Good teams don't know they're good teams in the first week either, right? You got to play the game. And I think everybody looking back at that halftime where it was 7-6 in Colorado and Chandler Morris is out, everyone's thinking, oh my gosh, what's going to happen? To go from that to where you guys were at in the national championship, I think that speaks volumes to what you guys were able to put together as a team.
Yes, sir.
And so how are you facing that challenge of climbing the mountain again starting this season?
This season, like I said, we're built on, like, family and, like, faith. And we all know each other. We all play with each other. We have a lot of transfers that come in. So, like, the guys that were on the team last year that came back this year, most of the defense returned. So we kind of just embraced those guys and, like, brought them into our culture. We had to – it was a long summer, but it was worth it for sure.
So what do you think – how do you think the defense is going to respond after that Georgia game? Being a safety, yeah. How do you think it's going to happen?
Oh, we're ready now. I mean, we all know each other. We only had, like, three guys leave, D Winters, Trey, and Dylan Horton, and, like, two guys on the D-line, but most of us came back.
All NFL players now.
They're all in the NFL. Yeah, they're all in the league. But most of us came back, and this year, like, our defense has been – had, like, a really good fall camp, and we've all been, like, from, like, the three starters to, like, the 14, like, all of us, we all know each other, and Coach G always tells us, like, if someone gets hurt, just be prepared, because you never know when your number is going to get called. So everybody has to stay ready.
Yeah, I think the quarterback situation last year certainly proved that. And it's good to see the depth that you guys have on defense. And it's great to hear about the fact that you guys are still a family unit and that there isn't discontent with how everything kind of ended last season. Damian, we are very happy to have you here. And Tyler, thank you very much for everything that you do with NIL Village. And again, this is an unbelievable organization. And real quick, I do want to ask you this, because your model is unique. Again, I kind of mentioned a lot of people think NIL is all about big name donors and, you know, big parties and, you know, petroleum club style stuff here. If you, from Fort Worth, you get that reference. But, you know, you have a unique way of bringing the NIL to players that are across the board, across the spectrum. So when somebody comes to the NIL Village website, what are they expecting to see?
So when you come there, what you'll see is you'll see the thumbnails of the players that we have on there, right?
And so we have some of our featured players on there. Davian right now is one of our featured players on there. So I invite everybody to go on NILVillage.com, visit Davian's profile, click on there. Minimum contributions, 10 bucks. But I'll tell you what, $10 goes a long way when you're in college. That's a lot of ramen noodles, you know, whatever you, you know, fried eggs, whatever it may be.
Two little Caesar's pizza.
So it does go a long way. And I'll, you know, and so, so you could click on the thumbnails, that opens up the broader profile, and the folks that we have interviewed, that Ronnie Baker has interviewed, their YouTube will be linked in there, so you can watch that interview straight from the site as well to get to know the players just a little bit more. But I'll tell you, so when we were first going through, when I was first going through and kind of slipping into people's DMs, and you know, and talking to like the women's soccer players from TCU and then otherwise, you know, their thing was, thanks for reaching out, because nobody has reached out to us. You know, and so they were like, yeah, we're totally interested. And so, you know, right off the bat, we got eight or nine of them, and some have gone off. And so one of them that we had last year, she was a senior soccer player. She had she had a patent on a provisional patent on a product, came on and said, hey, I have this provisional patent on a product. You know, can you just need some help raising money to start my own business, right? Had nothing to do with athletics at all, right, other than the fact that she was on the soccer team. And so her parents took that, and they sent it out to all their friends. I don't know if they were TCU fans or not, but they were friends and family, and they supported her, right? She raised almost $5,000 just off of that in a matter of a few weeks, right? So, you know, it works, and I think there's support out there for these athletes, whether you are, you know, the starting quarterback of TCU, or, you know, whether you are, you know, on the soccer team, or you, whether you're on the basketball team, whatever it may be, there's a level of support out there for each one of these players to where they can benefit, you know, if they jump on our site, and we hope they do.
That's awesome. And, you know, NILVillage.com.
Yes.
Yeah, so this is a fantastic opportunity for TCU fans. If you want to make a difference in a player's life, like Tyler said, just 10 bucks a month, right? And or $20 a month. I mean, this is kind of like the Patreon of NIL, right? You know, support these student athletes. If you really want to make a difference, this is a great way for you to do it. And, you know, forego that latte once a week, right? It really makes a difference for a lot of these student athletes. So, Tyler, thank you very much for joining us. We really appreciate it. Davion, you mind sticking around a little bit while we talk some more football?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, because I may get your opinion on the on the predictions later on. I would love to hear your prediction for the Colorado game. All right, so, Nathan, Shannon, let's talk football. We have missed quite a lot over the last couple of months.
Yes, sir.
And I think the first big piece of news we need to talk about is the Pac-12 totally imploding. That was nice. Four new teams added to the Big 12. And then suddenly right after that, four new teams added to the Big 12. So, Shannon, let's start off with this. We are adding this season, UCF, who currently is up 14-3 on Kent State. We're watching the game live. We are adding Houston.
Yep.
That kind of means a little something to us who remember the Southwest Conference. That was nice. BYU is back in the league.
I'm excited for that one.
Yeah, so let's start there, though, for a moment. BYU, you played against BYU while you were at TCU. What is it like to have BYU back in the same conference as TCU?
Well, it's awesome, man. We were speaking before the show how we look forward to going to BYU to play, because the stadium was so historic, because ours was very dull at the time. You know, you go to a stadium where you see mountains and snow, and it's a beautiful day, and you got people in lounge chairs that's on the field, literally. Like, all around the field watching the game, in some blue couch looking deals when people serving them food, but their atmosphere was awesome. I love the new Big 12. It's exciting. I love that Houston's coming back in. UCF, they're a school that's on the rise.
I didn't mention Cincinnati. I forgot Cincinnati.
Cincinnati. I mean, that's another one. So hopefully we can get back. I know we have some work to do, but the old, you know, I don't know, north and south, east and west, how are they going to do it, to where we have two divisions and we can play for the Big 12 championship. But, you know, I'm just lucky, or I'm not lucky, but I'm just glad to have more teams involved versus Big 12 with like 9 teams or 8 teams or whatever it was.
Yeah, like the round robin format, right? I mean, that's a good format. I love the fact that we play everybody every year, except for, of course, this season and then in the future. So it's kind of bittersweet because for a lot of fans, they do like the round robin. They do like being able to play everybody in the conference and seeing everybody in the conference. But Nathan, you know, as somebody who did play under the round robin format at TCU, what are your thoughts on the new teams coming in?
I'm excited. I hated the round robin because, you know, 2014. But, didn't like that. It was just a dumb concept, and then the way they came out with it afterwards to fix the problem actually made the problem worse. But I'm excited for the new teams. Cincinnati, UCF, kind of random for me. I don't know. They're just kind of out there. But I guess that's kind of how it is for West Virginia, too. But I understand BYU with the historical aspect of that one. Houston, State of Texas, so that one makes sense. I honestly thought they were going to add Louisville back a few years ago. But I'm excited to see Texas and Oklahoma go. I wish that they had left already so that we could end on that blowout. But hopefully we blow them out again. I'm excited. I just like new matchups. I'm curious to see how they're going to do moving forward with the new teams coming in, how they're going to break everything down. I don't know. I like change sometimes, especially when you're going away from round robin.
So, Davion, let me get you in on this. What's the locker room's kind of take on these new teams?
Oh, we love it. We're excited about playing Houston because we have a lot of players from Houston. So I'm from Houston.
Yeah.
So just going down there and playing in the big city of Houston, we're ready for that game. And also BYU. We wanted to play UCF to go to Florida, but we didn't really get that chance this year. But we're really excited to play Houston for sure.
Yeah, UCF, I can imagine a lot of players would love to just go to Florida and enjoy that game.
Yes, sir.
But BYU, as Shannon can attest to, man, that place is absolutely gorgeous. That's going to be a fantastic place for the players to actually go and see. And, you know, those BYU fans, they are extremely loyal.
Yep.
It is a very, very loud venue to play in.
Right.
But it's a good one. How does everybody feel about this is the last time TCU is going to play Texas and Oklahoma for the foreseeable future?
We ready to just give Texas a good whooping for them to leave our conference. You know, they always, like even this year, we always get disrespected by they always put Texas in front of us, even though we had a better season than them last year. I don't know how they're ranked in front of us, but.
Do you guys have that one circled on the calendar?
No, we just take one game at a time. We just focus on the team that's in front of us, you know. But when it's time for us to play them, we'll handle our business for sure.
That is a good attitude to take. All right, so, you know, we've got UCF, Cincinnati, BYU, and Houston coming in, and then all of a sudden, right on the heels of this announcement, everyone's getting ready for this. Suddenly, the Pac-12 just implodes, right? And now we have teams trying to figure out what they're doing. Colorado makes a run for the Big 12, and of course, we're going to be playing Colorado here this weekend. But then all of a sudden, we've got the Arizona schools, Arizona, Arizona State, and Utah. Shannon, BYU and Utah back in the same conference as TCU?
I'm loving it. We played Arizona back in the day when they were a pretty good team. Matter of fact, they were ranked, I think, 6th at the time. And those guys have a lot. They're electric. Even going to Arizona playing, which I didn't get a chance to do, but having them back on the roster is awesome. I love having Colorado in it. For me as a fan, I want to go to Colorado in the stadium and play. It's beautiful. I mean, that's going to be a game I'll travel to. So I'm liking the new energy. The Big 12, all of a sudden, that was like the thing to follow this summer because what else, you know, it's just Big 12 and who was coming, who was not. And so I'm excited for it. I'm excited for change, like Nathan said. I like the idea from a fan standpoint, traveling to Arizona. That's with both those teams in. They both can't come at the same time, so at least we get to go to Arizona once a year.
you know what I mean? True,
so it's going to be exciting. And Colorado every other year. So change is good. I can't wait. I'm glad that the team is excited for it, and I think the fans should be just as excited.
How do you feel about this new conference? Do you, in your opinion, do you feel that it's a stronger conference?
I do. I believe because football is any Saturday you can be beat. And with the more competition, these teams are on the rise. There's some solid football teams coming in. They're solid. And let's not forget.
Yeah, we didn't just add like basketball teams.
Yeah. Even though it does make a strong basketball conference, but let's not forget where we come from. I mean, we were doing a lot of beating teams that we weren't supposed to beat along the way. And sometimes we got surprised, right? So I think with this new schedule, you still have to pack your lunch every Saturday and come and play football. If you don't, you'll get beat. And I don't care who you are.
Nathan, how about you? Do you feel that this new Big 12 is better without Texas and Oklahoma?
Personally, yes. From the outside looking in, a lot of people are going to say, you know, Texas, Oklahoma are leaving. You know, we're losing our biggest brands. The Big 12 is nothing. But we end up having the better records in the bowl games, but it's fine. Yeah, I honestly think that we're, as a conference, better for it because everything's not focused around, you know, Texas picked to win the Big 12 like every year. They don't have that anymore, so they're going to go get beat in the SEC. Oklahoma, I think, will do okay in the SEC, but I think that it's better for us in terms of our competition level. Everybody in this room knows that the Big 12 is competitive. From the outside looking in, people that are SEC fans, everything, they think the Big 12 is terrible. But we're just competitive, and that's why the round robin was so bad. It was because you could lose to anybody at any time. You could look at Texas losing to Kansas a lot. You can lose to anybody at any time, and that's why I love the Big 12. And, you know, they say we don't play defense, but our offenses are just that good. You know, technically, we score less per play than the SEC does, just because we run so many plays every game. But it doesn't necessarily reflect in the score. Our scores are a little higher, but we still have good defense. We still have good offense. And so that's why I'm excited for these new teams to come in. I'm excited to get a little revenge on Arizona for the NCAA tournament, but yeah.
Yeah, looking forward to that one, too. It's going to be interesting. I think this is going to be a very exciting Big 12. This is going to be a conference that I think is going to be – I think everyone's going to find out real quickly. This is going to be a very dominant conference moving forward. I don't think the Big Ten is ready to kind of give up their self-imposed crown here, but I honestly think that TCU-led Big 12 – is going to be a very formidable conference moving forward. It's going to be a fantastic thing to see. Let's get into one last little item. We're running a little bit long, but...
That's okay. Keep going.
Oh, that's fine. We'll keep going. The crowd wants more. You got to give the crowd what they want, you know? That's true. That's fine. Damian, let me ask you this. From a defensive standpoint, one of the big rule changes this year is the game clock. First downs no longer stop the clock. Does that change the defensive mentality at all?
Well, it's kind of, because when we start our defense off every practice, we start off tempo. So, like, we have to go fast, and, like, Coach Gillespie, he'll signal calls in. We have a little thing because the teams try to steal our calls and stuff like that. So we harp so much on tempo, and our offense goes fast as well. So tempo, they try to get our minds going quick so we can, like, adapt to any situation.
Yeah, you know, TCU does play a very fast game and has always been a very fast team on defense. So do you feel that without having that stoppage in play, that little small breather that the offense gets on a first down, do you think that benefits the defense, especially a fast defense like TCU?
Yeah, for us, it'll definitely help us because we'll get all our calls in and stuff like that. But we're ready to adapt to anything. If a team goes fast, we're ready for it. But that little stoppage, we'll definitely be ready for sure.
Yeah. So, Shannon, you know, how do you feel about this change in the rule? Do you like it? Do you think we should just leave things alone? What is your thought?
Well, I looked at it from the opposite side. As Mr. Crawford was saying, I'm looking at it as the offense may need that time. I mean, once we jump on them and with our defense and how we play football, we're conditioned. We're going to be in shape. We run fast. That's just what it is with our defense. So they may need that timeout. So, you know, they're driving and their big boys are winded. Again, we know what style of football we play. We're not going to be the biggest up front, but we're going to be fast. We're going to be able to get after you. We're going to be able to cut your angles off, things of that nature. So what are you going to do? So now it forces you to use times out because the clock is running. And so you, as an offensive coordinator, they still have to figure out plays too, right? It's easy for a defense to call in just a base because that's what you're giving them. But you got a scheme and you got to come up with it. So for me, being a defensive guy, understanding what type of defense we play with, offense may need that time. I think it may hurt them versus our defense.
Yeah, so Nathan, as a wide receiver, how do you feel about it?
I definitely think it hurts the offense. If you take that rule away 6-7 years ago, you don't get a lot of the games that ended with exciting finishes the way that you look at the Baylor game. Everything aside, amazing game. If that rule wasn't in place last year, I don't think we win that Baylor game because right. Clock would have ran out. Max got that first down, so it stopped the clock, and that gave us time to run the ball a couple more times and then get the field goal on for the bazooka. But I think that you take a lot of close finishes and exciting finishes out of the game. I don't really like them taking that part of it away. I don't think it was a necessary change. They could have done a couple other things that could have maybe sped up the game, like taking away some of the TV timeouts, or taking away from when Aaron Judge was on the – taking away from our telecast. Yeah, that was – I don't like the rule. I think that it takes away a lot, especially it hurts the offense. I think it'll help the defenses a lot.
Yeah, I agree about taking the media timeouts away. That would be a really good idea. All right, well, let's move on and let's talk a little bit about the game coming up on this Saturday. So we've got the Big 12 kickoff this Saturday against Colorado, and Fox is in town. This is going to be a fantastic atmosphere to start off. And Davian, let's just start here. How are you guys getting ready for prime time and all the media hype around Deion Sanders and the Colorado Buffaloes?
Coach Dykes, he actually spoke on it in our team meeting. He feels like we kind of got disrespected because they're talking about Coach Prime and the hype, but they haven't done anything yet. They only played in the SWAC conference. It's different on this side. So, Coach Dykes said we don't really like to talk trash. We talk trash after the game, so we let our play
it's
do
good
the talking.
Policy. Yeah, that's a good point, right? They haven't done anything yet, right? They have like 4 returning starters, right? Is that it throughout the entire both units? So, and this is I don't know if you would call it a mash unit, but he is certainly picking up a lot of players, but they have not played in a game situation together. So, you don't yet know exactly what they're going to be doing. So, did the team agree that you guys feel like, yeah, we were totally disrespected? Or was that just like the first time you guys were thinking like, yeah, coach is right?
Yeah, we kind of feel disrespected because, I mean, we went to the Natty last year. We did some unprecedented things. And we just feel disrespected because no one's talking about us yet again. But, I mean, we're built for it. We did the same thing last year. We're going to do it again this year. So.
When the rankings came out and we're number 16 in the coaches poll, number 17 in the AP, did you guys feel disrespected for that as well?
Yes, sir. We went to a Natty, like I said, we went to a Natty last year. Like, I don't know how we're ranked 17. We should at least be in the top 10 for sure.
Right.
Like,
I agree.
At the least, but we felt disrespected and we kind of have that chip on our shoulder, so we're ready to take it out on the bus.
TCU fans love to hear the team has a chip on its shoulder, so that'll be fantastic. Shannon, let's get you in here. What do you look to see in this game against Colorado?
Well, first of all, man, that's been going on for years. That won't change. I love that because now we just go prove who we really are, who we've been for the last 20-something years. So, hey, let's just do it again.
Unlike Texas.
Are they going to be back again this year? I don't know.
They're number one.
Yeah. But my thing is this, and I've said it and I'll keep saying it. This is still a game of football. I don't care who Coach Prime is. I respect Coach Prime. I know some of his staff members. One of his staff members coached me at TCU when we went 1-10, Coach Robinson. He's also my frat brother. But 4 months ago, they cut 53 people. 53 besides 4, one of them being his son as a quarterback. How in the heck are you supposed to gel in 4 months from a quarterback, offense, receiver, special teams, all that? Come in here and beat a team, to your point, who went to a national title game, got all those extra practices, got a chance to play a little deep in the playoffs, get your young kids better, get some depth, and you feel disrespected because they talking? That's crazy to me. To me, you would think they'd just be humble and shut up and be quiet. By the way, I got y'all about 20-something points. I think it's going to be a blowout. But what I'm saying is it's just impossible to do. I give them 5-6 wins. Prime is Prime, but I don't think he's that good of a coach yet to take a team from 1 win to 5 or 6 and come in and beat TCU. My thoughts.
Well said. Nathan.
So unfortunately, it's going to start out as a very hyped game. They're going to have all this energy. Once that settles, yes, I think we'll come out on top. It's just getting through that hype and not letting that hype carry for too long. Because like Shannon said, it is a game of football. If you don't come in and do your job, you can get beat. But, you know, they have been practicing, from what I've seen, indoors mostly, and it's been 110 all week. So they're going to have to come in, deal with that heat. Once that heat kicks in, I've seen people get mad driving their cars in the heat. Playing football, yeah, you're going to get mad at your – people aren't doing their job, you get mad. It just snowballs, hypothetically, because it's melting. But, yeah, so I think early on in the game it's going to be carried by the hype. They're going to have a lot of energy. But once the dust settles and the hype calms down a little bit by halftime, it's, you know, TCU is going to be TCU.
Yeah, well, and I also think you're a little upset because your car doesn't have AC right now. Maybe that's why you're complaining about the heat. But that's a good point. I mean, Davian, how much practice time you guys been doing outside as opposed to inside the Sam Baugh Practice Center?
Really all of it, to be honest. We recently
practicing just, all outside?
Yeah.
Wow.
Recently, we just started doing like half and half. We'll start off outside for the most part, and then like for like the last 30 minutes, we'll go inside. But for the most part, we've just been all outside.
That is, especially with the heat that we've had the last couple of weeks, that's pretty impressive. That's old school right there. And, I, you know, to that point, Nathan is absolutely right. Colorado, they're not really going to be prepared for this heat. So are you guys going to – are you planning on using that to your advantage?
Oh, most definitely. We talk about it all the time. This Texas heat is different.
Well, I mean, from Houston, right? So it's not that swampy heat. But,
yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
Yeah, we still have pretty decent amount of humidity up here in the north part of Texas. All right, well, let's get down to the nitty-gritty on this particular game. And, Davian, let's go ahead and start with you. This game is going to be one that I think the entire nation is going to be watching. I think anybody who's seen ESPN the last 2 weeks knows that, you know, Deion is being hyped as the next coming of college football coach royalty. You know, people are naming him in the same breath as Saban, which just absolutely just boggles my mind. I don't know how he got this much hype, but he is primetime. That's what he does. How are you guys going to be focused from a defensive standpoint? How are you guys going to be focused on this game? How are you guys going to take this thing over early? And how do you feel you guys will play against Colorado?
From a defensive standpoint, like I said, like he has a lot of hype behind his name, but he hasn't done anything yet. But as far as the defensive standpoint, we brought most of our defensive players back. So we all know each other. And we the transfers that came in, we embraced them, and they're adjusted to our culture. So we're ready for sure. We've been ready. We're just ready. Since that national championship game, like I said, we have a chip on our shoulder. We're ready to go out and prove it.
If y'all could see the smirk that he is giving me as he's giving that answer, that warms my heart. I love that. That was really good. Shannon, what do you think keys to this game? What do you think TCU needs to do early in order to take this thing over and drive Colorado into the ground?
Listen, this is my thoughts, you know, and I'm just ready to go. The team's going to follow their leader. I like Coach Dykes over Coach Prime. I know Coach Prime is with all the hype and all that kind of stuff, and they're going to be overhyped, but I don't know why. This is business as usual. You know, this is the first game. It's business. We want to win. We come off of an embarrassing loss. As my man said, we're pissed off. I would be. And we have to show the world that we deserve. They put us down low on the rankings. Listen, we're going to go out and play football. I don't think it's going to take long. I think it's going to be first quarter. By the end of the first quarter, we will establish dominance. We're going to take the game over. By the end, by fourth quarter, we're going to have some rookies in there playing football. It's not going to be close. But I think the key is that our head coach is going to – they're going to follow him. He's going to come in nice, relaxed, ready to kick some butt. He'll have them ready to play, and that's what's going to happen. I think Deion has his team overhyped. I think prime time has too much prime time with his team.
Well, Davian, Shannon mentioned something here a second ago that was really good. Teams are going to follow their leaders. Max Duggan, unquestionably, was a leader, not just on the field, but off the field in that locker room. By the way, made the practice squad. So I keep wanting to call them San Diego. They're not San Diego. L.A. Chargers. So we are very proud of him. But replacing a guy like Max can be very challenging for a team. Who in that locker room do you feel has kind of risen to that occasion?
Oh, Josh Newton, our cornerback, without a doubt. He's the voice of the team, the leader for sure, Josh Newton.
That is one great voice to be the leader for this team this year. He has played with a lot of heart and a lot of passion, and that's good to hear. So, Nathan, keys to the game.
Stay hydrated. key to this game, key to the season, stay healthy. Do your job, block out all the outside noise because there's going to be a lot of it, especially in this game, going forward. Everyone's going to make an excuse for our team for why we're doing well. You just got to ignore it and keep going.
All right, well, it's going to be a fun game this Saturday, and we are definitely looking forward to kicking off football season. And before we get to predictions, let's talk about a couple of the other games across the Big 12. A lot of these are games, you know, like UCF right now is playing Kent State. I don't think we necessarily need to talk about games like that, but there are a couple that I have circled that I do want to talk about. And we'll start off, Shannon, one that I kind of warms my heart to see. Rice is playing Texas. Talk about a throwback to the Southwest Conference days. Ryan shaking her head up and down. You know, you mentioned something to me earlier. Rice is a 35-point underdog in this game, but Rice can be a little tricky.
Most people don't remember. We only beat Rice one time, and that was our senior year with the whole group, the LT era, one time.
I remember.
And so my point was Rice is one of those teams. They can beat you. I don't care what that's one of those games you just can't worry about the point spread because with people who were able, when they run the option look and they can get into your legs and things of that nature, it wears you out. And when you're not used to practicing against that, it's hard to stop. So that's one of those games. I would definitely not have Texas to cover the 35, but it's one of those games that's going to be one to watch. You know, even Rice, yeah, but Rice will still get after you. That's a hard-working kid.
No, they'll definitely get at you. Nathan, do you feel Rice has a chance to beat Texas? I know if you were writing the script for this season, Rice would win by 35 points. But in reality here, how do you feel about this game?
No, I think Rice does not come close to beating Texas. As much crap as I give Texas and as much as – everybody hypes them up. Like they do have legit talent on that team. They're always up there in the recruiting classes, like everything. Whether they gel later in the season is up to the team, but I don't think that they lose to Rice. Like I would love for them to, but.
We all would. Damian, what do you think? How do you feel about this game? Being from Houston, how do you feel about Rice and Texas?
I really don't like to underestimate any team because anybody can get beat on any given day. So yeah. I feel like you just never know in college football. You seen Kansas last year. They surprised everyone. So I wouldn't really just say.
Appalachian State. Absolutely right.
App State beat Texas A&M. We were watching that game at halftime. But you just never really know in this game of college football. So I really wouldn't just put Rice off as just taking an L. So you never really know.
Well, let's move to another Houston game. Houston's actually going to be playing UTSA. The Roadrunners. Now, my wife's family's all from San Antonio, and I love the Roadrunners. I know Shannon's a fan. Being from Houston, does it shock you that UTSA is actually a 2-point favorite in that game?
No, not at all. UTSA, they've been kind of running the Conference USA. Like, they're really good, so I feel like Houston, they better bring their A game, because I have some friends that play for Houston, so they're not underestimating them at all.
Okay. Shannon, do you think San Antonio is going to take this one?
That's spot on. I mean, they've been coming for the last 2-3 years. I'm going to roll with them. I'm rolling with UTSA to beat Houston. They're a strong team. I think they're just trying to get over that hump. And this could be the season they do that. So it's going to be a doggone good game. Can they cover the 2? I think so.
So Houston just unveiled their uniforms for that game where they're wearing the Houston Oilers colors.
Yeah, they did.
Yeah. So – look good, feel good, but last I talked to him, I don't know if he's still there, but Aaron Green was actually running back coach at UTSA and former Frog, so I kind of have to go for UTSA on that one.
There you go.
I concur. I think UTSA actually wins this game, although I didn't know that about the Oiler colors. That's nice. I like that. They look good, but Oh, yeah. Well, yeah, the Houston Oilers stuff. Yeah, Nathan doesn't quite agree with the why are you doing Houston Oilers, but I do like the powder blue. It's nice. It's a good throwback. All right. Let's also go to Texas Tech at Wyoming. How do we feel?
Texas Tech should handle that game. That's an easy one for me.
Okay. Nathan?
If Texas Tech doesn't handle that game, I feel way better about our game in Lubbock.
David, you have any thoughts about Texas Tech?
I think Texas Tech is going to win. But like I said, you never really know because some teams come out to play, they be having a chip on their shoulders when they play bigger teams. But I feel like Tech will handle their business for sure.
All right. And the last one we have here is West Virginia, a 20-point underdog to Penn State. Woo. Shannon?
Listen, Penn State. Would it have been the first week and not knowing a West Virginia receivers and quarterback yet? Because that's their bread and butter. That's what they do. And so I feel if they have a good supporting cast, meaning from the quarterback receiver standpoint, we know West Virginia can be in any game. I don't care who you play. So I don't know about that one. Obviously Penn State, they're going to be in, they have depth, they're big, they're going to try to outpower you. But with the firepower of a high spread offense like West Virginia usually have, it's going to be a task for them, if that's the case.
Yeah, so Davion, last year, West Virginia obviously is going through a lot of growing pains. How do you guys feel about that team this year?
Last year, they kind of gave us a run for our money a little bit, I'm not going to lie. We kind of got it together toward the end of the game. We had a lot of defensive blown coverages and stuff like that, but like I said, you never really know with any team you got to come to play, especially us going to the Natty last year. Every team's going to give us their best, regardless. And Coach Dykes harps on that every game and every week. So you just never really know.
All right. Well, let's get into – right before we do predictions, sorry, we had a question from the crowd. Somebody wants me to ask you about Coach Kaz and the saltwater sleeping pods. Can you explain this?
I mean, yeah. Not really, to be honest, because Kaz, he's a that dude there. He always keeps us accountable. So as far as you just never really know with him. Like every day he's just, he can be smiling with you 1 minute, and the next minute he just gives you a look and you know like, but you just never really know with Kaz.
So what are these saltwater sleeping pods? For those that don't know.
So they're... I don't even know if you want me to talk about this, to be honest, but I can't really, yeah, I don't really want to get in trouble talking about it, to be honest.
What are they, I guess? What are the... That?
No.
No? Okay. No, all right. Okay. Okay. Okay.
Top secret.
Never mind.
Talk about it. Never mind. Yeah, we'll talk about it after the mics go off. How about that? That works good. All right. Well, let's go ahead and let's end with predictions. So, at the end of every podcast, of course, we're going to go ahead and give our predictions on the game. And, we'll start, Nathan, with you. How do you feel? TCU, Colorado, what is your prediction?
All right, David, I don't want you to take this as disrespect. Y'all, like, if anybody's new to this, also I have to give a shout-out to Trevor Pepper. Met him in L.A. He listens to our podcast all the way from San Francisco.
Yeah.
I think he said San Francisco. It was a late night. But if you're new to this podcast, I'm a pessimist. I get nervous before games, and I don't like to get my hopes up too high. But in this one, I'm going to say 41-24, TCU. I have to give some respect to Deion Sun. He's a heck of an athlete. So not saying I hope we shut him down, but I think he'll produce something. But, yeah, I'm going 41-24.
All right, that's a pretty good prediction. That's a pretty good prediction. Shannon?
Look, my brother, Nathan, I can give two. It's football time. It's time to go. You know, we're taking prisoners. We're just on a level now where we've been disrespected, even beating Michigan, getting to a national title. People think that hurt us, but it didn't. It helped us, in my personal opinion, from recruiting to everything across the board. We hand Deion Sanders, his son, his videos, camera people, his YouTube people, an ass whooping come next Saturday, 56-17, and I'm being nice.
Yeah, you know, I kind of feel the same way. You know, I think this game, but I'm going to go a little bit more conservative on the score. You said 56. I'm going to say 54.
There you go.
54. Something. 54, but I'm feeling a little bit closer to Nathan's idea that, you know, there's a lot of hype coming out, right? I maybe we'll say 54 to 21. Sound good? 54-21, somewhere around there. Hopefully not. I'd like to see the defense throw a shutout. Mr. Crawford, what is your prediction on the game this Saturday?
I say Frogs by 90.
From your lips, sir, from your lips. Well, that will do it for tonight. We want to thank everybody who joined us again. Remember, we are going to be back every week at the Poop Deck this season, so go ahead and come on out and join us. We want to thank the fine folks at the Poop Deck. And, of course, make sure you go to NILVillage.com to go ahead and check out the featured players that they've got there. And, you know, spend some time, take a look, learn these players, and support them. They really do need their support. And Davian, how can people find you online?
On Instagram is the letter D and dot C-R-A-W-W. That's what my teammates call me. I got like 8 different names, but they call me D-Craw. So.
How many followers do you
have
on Instagram?
Instagram, I almost got like 10K. And then TikTok, my name on TikTok is CrawfordBoy2, and I have like almost 400K on TikTok. So. From TikTok, I started spreading the gospel. I'm a man of God, so first and foremost.
Amen.
But
so this is definitely not a dancing TikTok channel.
No, there's no dancing at all. But my teammates
dancing for the Lord, like David. Is that it?
Praising God for sure. But I started spreading the gospel on TikTok because my grandmother, she made us go to church at a young age. So I was really born into it. But and my grandmother, she passed away in 2020. But she told us before she passed away. We all have to find our own relationship with God. So once I got older in 2020, when I was in JUCO, JUCO is really tough, so I had to find my relationship with God. If it wasn't for God, I wouldn't be here at TCU. So God is very important to me for sure.
What a blessing, man. That is fantastic. Awesome. Well, go check out Davian. Obviously, go to killerfrogs.com as well. You can find links for everything, and we'll have links up to our Davion's social media there as well. You can also find links to the Fan Nation. You can read all the wonderful articles that Barry talked about earlier in this particular segment. And, of course, remember, come on out on Saturday. Show up early. Wear purple. Be loud. And you know what? At the end of every single podcast, we get our frogs up. And we get to say,
Go Frogs!